"I wish you were here, Caleb," she said now, wistfully, and heard a soft chuckle in her ear.
"I wish I were too," her husband said from their bedroom in Cherath, well over 6,000 miles away. "And not just because Edward and I are going to find it a bit difficult to explain where you are if someone happens to notice you're away."
The water-clear earpiece tucked into her right ear relayed his voice from the security comm she wore on a golden chain around her neck. "Fortunately," a second, deeper voice observed, "you're one of the most talented fabricators I've ever encountered, Caleb."
"Any diplomat learns to lie with the best of them, Merlin," the Emperor replied.
"Why do I suspect that you learned to lie with the best of them, trying to explain away little things like broken windows, stolen apples, and all those other childhood infractions of which you were undoubtedly guilty?"
Merlin Athrawis inquired from the skimmer's forward cockpit.
"Because you know him," Charlian suggested innocently.
"Probably," Merlin said dryly, and Charlian chuckled.
"Well, maybe the communicator is magic," she thought. "But if it is, at least it's magic I've started getting used to. I wonder if I'll ever get to the point of taking it for granted the way Merlin does, though."
Sometimes she suspected she would. Other times she was positive it would never happen. It was simply too marvelous, too impossible for that. Yet there were also those moments when her own lack of familiarity with Merlin's miraculous toys actually became an advantage. The comm she wore around her neck was a case in point. It was considerably smaller than the one Merlin had originally given her, and her lips twitched in another, less crooked smile as she considered why that was. It hadn't occurred to her at first that comms could be smaller than the one he'd initially shown her. But as she'd encountered more examples of the often incredibly tiny bits and pieces of technology Merlin had shared with her and Caleb, a possibility had crossed her mind. From the beginning, she'd decided that figuring out ways to conceal things, like the communicators, had to be one of their highest priorities. Small as the original handheld units Merlin had given them might be, they were still obviously and dangerously alien-looking. They didn't belong to Safehold's homegrown and allowable technology, and anyone who saw one of them would realize that. It might not be very likely anyone ever would see one of them, but unlikely wasn't the same thing as impossible. And as Merlin himself had pointed out, if the group of four ever discovered their enemies truly were dabbling in the prescribed knowledge of Shan Wei, the consequences could be disastrous. Especially if they could prove it. So she'd asked Merlin if there were smaller, even easier to hide comms tucked away in Nemu's cave. There hadn't been, but as Merlin considered her question, he'd realized there was no inherent reason he couldn't make one smaller. Most of the existing unit's size was more a consequence of having to provide something large enough for a human hand to manipulate comfortably than of any unavoidable technological constraints. The same basic capabilities could be provided by something far smaller if those manipulation requirements were removed. In fact, they had been, prior to the Federation's destruction, in the form of the surgically implanted communicators the Terran military had issued to its personnel. Of course, he didn't have any of those, and surgically installing something which would cause the eyebrows of any healer who discovered it to become permanently affixed to his hairline would probably have been a bad idea anyway. But if he had Owl redesign a comm to respond only to spoken commands, for voice activation, as he described it, even an external comm could be made little larger than the end joint of Charlian's slender thumb.